we're heading towards a border poll, a referendum on unity.
I would love to see the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland come back as one under the United Kingdom.
Everyone agreed that any change in the future will be by a plebiscite of the people of the North of Ireland.
What does a new Ireland look like? If it's fasting Northern Ireland just on to the south, no thank you.
Over 91% of our schools are segregated. And honestly, how can you expect young people to suddenly become open-minded and tolerant and inclusive if you're not building that in from day one?
At some stage in the next 10 years, the east coast of Ireland is going to suffer the significant impact of rising sea levels. We have a joint endeavour to face these challenges. I think that will start to change the landscape, not just physically, but also mentally.
The volume has turned up on the conversation around United Ireland, but there's no appetite for it.
People in the Republic need to start talking about this because it's coming. There is going to be, at some stage, a border poll, and they're going to need to know, do they really believe in the Republican ideals that this state was founded on, or do they not?
There you go, that's a little bit of the trailer for the documentary The Irish Question. The film is the Lord Mayor Gala screening at the Dublin International Film Festival next month, and John Walsh is with me on the line. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
It's an interesting one. Having made the film, how have you been viewing the last couple of days in terms of what's just happened? And I note, in terms of one of the things agreed, which is causing a bit of consternation, is that the deal, according to the UP, abolishes UK duty to have a regard to an all-Ireland economy. If we're to have an all-Ireland, we're going to have a united Ireland. We're certainly going to have an all-Ireland economy. Here is unionism saying we've got a key concession, saying we have to ignore all that, for now at least.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. If a united Ireland, should it happen someday, you would need a functioning all-Ireland economy. For example, the nightmare scenario would be that you have a reverse Good Friday Agreement where Northern Ireland becomes, with the Stormont, institution of Stormont, and Northern Ireland as a devolved government within a united Ireland. Now, if the case as it is at the moment is replicated, where Northern Ireland is a massive drain on the exchequer in London, where an estimated $10 billion in an annual subvention is sent to Northern Ireland every year, that just wouldn't be viable. It's not a viable proposition within a united Ireland. Namely because it would create huge tensions. People in the rest of the country would say, you know, why is all the money going up there when so much is needed down here? I mean, outside Dublin, you know, the rest of the country still relies on a lot of the tax revenues earned in Dublin. So if you'd Northern Ireland competing for that exchequer funding, you know, in that case, a united Ireland just wouldn't work. It would create unbearable tensions. So the real key to a successful United Ireland in the future is going to be around an economy. Now, there's two ways of looking at what happened over the past few days. One is that regardless of what unionist concessions were made, the fact is that you still have a border down the Irish Sea. And over time, that will create a lot more trade between the north and south of Ireland. That will, in time, create an all-Ireland economy. And in those conditions, political union could follow. It would be one inevitable or one outcome of that. Now, the other way of looking at it is that in this new dispensation with the Windsor framework, Northern Ireland gets the best of both worlds. It gets access to the EU and it gets access to the UK. So, in a way, why would you vote for United Ireland when...
If you've got a massive economic advantage of being that particular place in the European and UK context. So that's one of the things that people are scratching their heads about. But then you go back to the ideology of it. The reason is because the DUP didn't want any sort of a different treatment, because they're driven by the belief and the wishes of their voters that they're part of the union and they should be treated no differently than anywhere else in the United Kingdom. let me put this to you, and talk to me about the documentary and what you learned in it, John, from that point of view, like the feelings on either side or on all or any sides. What did you learn about how people are feeling about it? Like this idea, we need to get ready, and then there's other people say, no, no, it's never going to happen, or maybe in 10, 20 years' time. Where do things stand? And I know it's a complicated, an ever-evolving, complicated issue.
The key thing, we would not be here having this conversation if Brexit had not happened. Brexit changed everything.
Yeah.
The genius of the Good Friday Agreement is that people in Northern Ireland could identify as Irish, they could identify as British, they could identify as Northern Irish, they could identify as European, they could identify as all of those at once. So in a way, it solves a lot of the tensions that existed in Northern Ireland and was a source of a lot of the trouble. Now, you take the 22nd of June 2016. It was probably only real hardcore Sinn Féin supporters who thought a border poll was imminent, that United Ireland would happen at some stage within their lifetime. It just wasn't on anybody's agenda. Nobody was talking about it. People were settling into this new dispensation. Once implacable foes were in government. People were settling down. It wasn't perfect. It was a fragile peace. But Northern Ireland was on its way to working. Then Brexit shattered everything. It undermined the legislative underpinning of the Good Friday Agreement. But most importantly, it forced people once again to choose between being British or Irish.
Yeah.
And just from the union,
we've had this mess ever since.
And from the unionist perspective, the key thing is there's always been this fear of betrayal in the unionist psyche. It's existed since the creation of the Northern Ireland state in 1921. Now, for most of the time over the past century, those fears have been completely unfounded. Certainly, it was the Conservative and Unionist Party. And to most Conservatives, they did value the Union, and that included Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But then along came Boris Johnson. And to get the Brexit deal he wanted, he had to effectively abandon Northern Ireland in terms of putting a border down the Irish Sea. And what really shocked unionists was the alacrity with which he did that. He had absolutely no problem. So, in a way, all their fears came to the fore. And that's what really puts the kind of momentum behind the border poll and the idea that, you know, Brexit is going to force a reckoning at some stage.
Yeah.
People will have to make a decision.
Yeah, and it may happen sooner rather than later. Stay with me, John. One other thing I want to talk about, and it's on the cultural side of it. We'll get to that after we take these. Yeah, we're talking with the maker of a documentary on the Irish question, looking at the future and a United Ireland. It's going to be the Lord Mayor's Gala screening at the Dublin International Film Festival next month. John Walsh. John, let me read a headline for you. And my final question on this is to do with the cultural side of things. This is something that was asked, questioned, or talked about and by the then Taoiseach years ago, Leo Varadkar, when he first became Taoiseach. He was asked about United Ireland. He said, yeah, let's have a debate, but let's talk about whether we have the tricolour or not. You have to be serious about this. Would you be willing to give up the tricolour? Now, a poll in recent days says, a headline from the Irish Times, Protestant voters in Northern Ireland strongly opposed to the use of the tricolour for United Ireland. They have overwhelmingly negative views of the Irish flag and would not like it used as any form of a flag in the new United Ireland. Voters in the Republic, however, are overwhelmingly in favour of retaining the tricolour as the national flag of United Ireland, as are those from a Catholic background in the North. How are you going to square that circle in the United Ireland of the future?
See, what you've just highlighted there are just one of a series of very complex cultural, constitutional, political, economic and security issues. Now, the thing is, and this is in a way it's the conundrum, it's almost the Gordian knot of how this unfolds. A United Ireland cannot happen, it can never happen, unless there's been extensive dialogue and planning beforehand. Because you're right, people in the South are very protective of a lot of the things we have here, like our constitution, like, for example, the status of the Irish language, the tricolour, all our institutions. But if you ask any unionist in Northern Ireland whether they would contemplate a united Ireland, they would say, yeah, I mean, certainly at the moderate end, they'd say, look, we're open to the conversation.
There has to be a pragmatism there, isn't there? Like among some unionists, they see the way things are going, so that they know they're going to be, the question is coming at some stage.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is coming. But the thing is, they don't want to be bolted on to the 26 counties. They just don't want to happen what happened with East Germany, when it was just bolted onto West Germany. And to this day, you still have residual anger, and, you know, that's those tensions still haven't been resolved. So, I mean, they're open to the idea of a new Ireland, but that new Ireland would be very different to the one we live in. It would mean a new constitution. It would mean a new flag. But the only way these issues can be thrashed out is if you have extensive dialogue and you have unionist participation in that. Now, if you look at it at the moment, the political focus is on getting the Stormont up and running again, getting the institutions of devolved government up and running again. So the whole idea of talk around a united Ireland, in a way, it's very destabilizing.
Yeah.
There's no way unionists are going to engage in those conversations at the moment because the fear factor is so high. But yet, these talks have to start now if you're going to have a border poll, because otherwise people won't know what they're voting for. And that would be the worst possible outcome.
Yeah, we don't want to stumble into it like they stumbled into Brexit. John, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it. But listen, it's a fascinating one. Be very interested to watch it. Tickets are available for that Lord Mayor's Gala screening at the Dublin International Film Festival.
Yeah, they're on the Dublin Festival website.
Okay. And Kerry are playing Dublin and Croke Park the evening before the screening. So it could be a great weekend.
More important.
Yeah. John, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking about that. Looking forward to watching that one. That's The Irish Question, the documentary looking at an examination as to whether we're ready for a united Ireland, both here and in the north. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us. Comment on cannabis. If it's legalized, it will be normalized and it will become widespread then, says a true listener. And by the way, look, if you are struggling, or if you're a family member that is struggling, there is Narcotics Anonymous that you can check out for help in relation to this area, in relation to this debate that we've been having, because we have been talking. But there's a drugs and alcohol helpline, first of all, that is set up by the HSE. It's 1-800-459-459. You contact them from 9:30 to 5:30 Monday to Friday. You can email helpline@hse.ie. They'll put you in touch with services and all those sort of things. Narcotics Anonymous is help for people. There are online meetings, there are physical meetings. Any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. So if you want to contact them, there is a number to contact. It's an information line on 67280000. That's 01-67280. The southern area, you can contact 087-138-6120 every evening from 6 to 9 p.m. The website is nasouth.ie. That's for Narcotics Anonymous. And of course, there is the AA as well for people affected by alcohol. Those are helplines for people affected by the debate we're having, or if it triggers anything in you. Keep your comments coming into us on that. Jerry, we never called it binge drinking. We called it going for a session. 12 pints at least on a Sunday night and up at dawn on Monday. Oh, the good old days, says Tom.